Good evening. So I get the chance to do the final installment of the Galatians plan. And so, Jason Hogley did the first and second chapters. Jesse did the third and the fourth. And I get the chance to teach the fifth and the sixth. Yeah. Yeah, that's how that goes, right? One, two, three, four, five, six. So, I did go to Boysville for a time, and so, yeah. So, before it gets any worse, I think we are going to pray. So, yeah, Lord, I pray that as we go into your word tonight, Lord, that we'd be looking for your face in this scripture. Lord, I pray that as we come across different things that our lives do not rub, our lives are not right, and they might hit a rub, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and show us that you love us. Show us, Lord, that we need you, and we need you badly. I think sometimes we forget that. So I pray that we walk away from tonight that closer to you, more in love with you, Lord. And yeah, I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit more than anything. Yeah, in your name, amen. The one thing that I do know for sure is if I have to just read from my notes, it's going to be at least 40 minutes. I do know that. I tested that last night with Carrie. She sat through it twice. So... if I drop, she's going to be the guest speaker. So the one thing that we're in all of this, it's all about the gospel. And so as we go into Galatians chapter 5 and 6, the one thing that I would like to, that I'm actually calling this is the gospel in practice. Because it's good to know the Bible and it's good to have it memorized. But if it doesn't play out through your life and through your fingertips, it does not matter. That's what I think about that. So the gospel in practice is what I'm going to be going through. Couple of things that we're going to go through. Three things that we're going to cover is gospel freedom, gospel character, sowing and reaping in the gospel. Those are the things that we're going to cover. So as we go through and we are in the fifth chapter, one thing that we have to remember is 5 and 6 is the great crescendo of everything that happened before. Chapters 1 through 4 basically was saying, okay, do this, do this. It was all doctrinal truths. It was all Bible teaching. And now Paul is saying, now start practicing what I taught you. Actually start living out the things that we're talking about. Again, if it doesn't come through your fingertips, it doesn't play. And so, but there's a lot of application, a lot of Bible truths. The first thing, or many things that he talked about, Paul spoke of the foolishness of the Galatians. How quick they were to lay down their life that they had in grace, the freedom that they had. And they ended up picking up the law. They traded their freedom and they picked up and they traded faith and they said, I'll just take this formula. I'll just start living by these rules and I will not live by faith. But the thing is I think all of the teachers before this and as we go through tonight, formula will never, ever, ever be able to take the place of faith. You'll find yourself deeply short. So Paul, again and again, reminded the Galatians, reminds us, we are saved by grace. We are justified by grace. We are kept by grace. And we will be saved by grace. Here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and I agree with it wholly. It says, I prefer a dangerous freedom over a peaceful slavery. Me too. So the first thing that we're going to go through is gospel freedom, and that's going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 15. never fails. Perfect. All right. So for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. To every man who accepts circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You were severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you, he will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as the opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, for you are not consumed by one another. So one of the things that I want to first start out with is chapter one, because that would be a long night. Verse one, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Here, Paul is calling out to the Galatians, to Christians, to us, to live and walk in freedom. Now that freedom only comes from Christ. This freedom cannot be earned. It cannot be attained by the things that we do. It cannot be achieved as a goal. These things, this freedom can only be received. I think, I know the reason why Paul is saying this is because we forget these things. We quickly forget the gospel, quickly forget freedom. Because it's easier to follow rules than it is to actually be led by the Holy Spirit. Am I right, or am I the only person that thinks that? Okay. I was just wondering because I figured the way that you keep people awake is you ask them questions and then they have to at least wake up for a response. So if they are falling asleep, just nudge them and tell them the right answer. So one thing is gospel freedom. Gospel freedom frees us from fear and condemnation. It leads us to obey and not to please ourselves. It gives us the chance for us to live the way that we want. Now, I'm going to let that sit for a little bit because I know that those of us who enjoy rules, this whole idea of it gives you the freedom to live the way that you want. We're just going to let that stir for a little bit, probably the next 10 minutes, and then we'll go through another scripture that actually tells us about this. So, at first, this whole idea of living the way that you want is pretty scary and scandalous to us. Just that whole idea. I get to live as I want? Doesn't this take away, it seems a lot of people say that this actually takes away and removes any incentives for a holy life. Doesn't it seem that way? If you think about it, I get to live as I want. Yeah, you get to actually live the way that you want. But a lot of this, because of this, we trade our gospel freedom for another message, a new message. And the new message looks like this. It's one that is based on formulas instead of faith, rules instead of freedom, the law instead of grace. And here's one thing that I figured out. Who here has the Believer's Bible Commentary? William MacDonald? Okay. I am going to say that I wholeheartedly stole this from that man. So the law says this: if you earn your freedom, you become free. The grace says you have been made free at the tremendous cost of the death of Christ. In gratitude to him, you should stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made you free. The law commands, right? It commands the absolute live life perfectly. The law commands that of us. But it does not, and it cannot enable. So the law demands something. You have to live like this. You have to be like this 24/7, all of the time. But it cannot enable you to do that. So you're on your own. But this is what grace says. Grace provides everything that the law demands and enables us to live a life that is consistent by the power of the Holy Spirit and rewards us for doing it. Now that's good news, right? Where it's like, I'm asking and I'm demanding of this from you, but I'm going to give you the power to do it. This isn't in my notes, so this is for free. That is one of the things that I love about the Bible. This is the one thing that, one of the many things that I love about the God that we follow, is he's always there. If you need something, he gives you the Holy Spirit. It's a toolbox for everyday living, right? So how about we open up our toolbox and actually start living in that freedom, actually start living a Holy Spirit-filled, gospel-practiced life. It's pretty nice when that does happen. There is one thing that causes a lot of people I'll just say it, when we hit the part of fallen from grace, a lot of people hear that, they'll see that, and their heart stops a little bit. Not that I'm a word nerd, but I checked into this a little bit, and the word fallen here is ekpipto. In the original language, it means to literally be driven from one's course. As sailors are driven from their normal lane of travel. So you go from the normal lane of travel that is safe, that everybody knows, it is plotted, it is coursed. This means that you're driven. You are driven from what is safe into uncharted territories. And in those uncharted territories, you hit rocks. You're never guaranteed to make it to your final destination, right? So this fallen, it's one of those things where it is a scary thing. It means that one time you were on the path, you were walking in freedom, but you chose the law. You were driven from your course by one thing or another, and you were into uncharted territory, and you're gonna hit the rocks, and you're gonna bust. And this is why in verse 11, chapter 4, Paul comes right out and says, and this is why I'm afraid for you. But a lot of us, we read into this whole thing of, and this is why I'm afraid for you, and we start thinking that he's passing judgment. The reason why, I guess we would have to say that Paul is afraid for them, is he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to do what it is to achieve God's love. Work hard and God will love you. Do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right person all the time, and God will love you. But the one thing that Paul knew is that it won't happen. It can't happen. And the law is designed to crush your soul. So here's Paul saying, and this is why I'm afraid for you, because this could happen to you. So for all of the people who the whole that we are made free in Christ, and so you can live however you want. Now that I let that be in your bonnet, stay there for a little bit. If you look to verse 13, this is what I like. Is it comes right out and it tells us what we are made for, what we are freed for, why there is freedom. Herein lies our chance and the reason why, with the ability to live the way that we want. In verse 13, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So when we look at it, our freedom is to love and serve one another. It's like the gifts that were given in the Bible. You know, those gifts, they're not for us, right? The gifts are for the church. Your freedom is not for you. It's the person that's sitting next to you. Your life, our lives, in true freedom are supposed to be spilled out for everybody else. That's the gospel in practice. Now, is it hard to do? I mean, if anybody's sitting here, if we have any kind of an ounce of integrity and want to be honest at all, yeah, it is. It's hard. But going back to Thomas Jefferson, I prefer a dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. I'd rather have something that I got to fight for than to just lay down and just whatever happens, happens. So our freedom does not terminate on us. The main goal is not us as individuals, but to love and serve the good of the whole. And he means that so much that he backs that up with, therefore stand firm. Now make sure that you stay free. Do not be yoked again to slavery. And here's the part that makes a lot of us nervous, maybe rightfully so. This freedom can be lost. Now we'll go through that. This freedom can be lost. If we are to keep freedom, we must remain free. So how do we remain free and not turn from grace and into the law, right? This is the part of standing firm that the Bible talks about, right? Stand firm. We must be diligent to remember, right? We all have a story. We all didn't come out of the womb a Christian, you know, singing all kinds of praise hymns, right? Nobody knew them. We all had to make a choice. That means that you led a life. Remember, remember, remember. The other thing is preserve. Actually, be present. Actually, preserve. Actually, be part of your own life. That's crazy. You mean I actually have to be awake for it? Yeah. Yeah, you do. So it says, and then rejoice in and live in freedom. Right? We cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose our freedom to enslavement and to fear. People will give up anything because they're afraid. Right? We'd rather feel safe and give away all of our rights as long as I don't have to be afraid. Right? But this yoke that we're talking about, a yoke to fear, a yoke to law keeping, this yoke will never be good enough. We always add to it. All of a sudden there'll be another yoke and then another yoke and another yoke. And you'll be so burdened that you can't even live life. I've done this. I think, no, I shouldn't probably say that. Oh, I will say it. There is one period of time that my main goal in the school of ministry was I thought, if I just, this is rule keeping, this is not right, this is rule keeping. If I could just stay two steps ahead of Pastor Tim, I know I'm going to be good. I'll just be on my game enough to be ahead of him by two steps. How? First of all, that's ridiculous to even think that. Second of all, we all know Pastor Tim. You can't even keep up with him yet be ahead of him. So until I thought, I'm going to actually live life. I'm going to actually love God, right? Now I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it because I'm living my own life. I'm not living by rules. So, but this yoke doesn't bring freedom but fear. Now, see, some of these things I'm going to list, and this isn't going to be like a, you know, checklist that we can all go, yes, no, yes, no. But when here's some of the things that when we decide to not live for freedom, but take on our yoke, these are things that we'll see. Touchiness, insecurity, pride, discouragement, weariness of people who do not share the same view as you. Right? Because if the whole goal is you and your freedom is for you and this yoke is one that you carry, you're going to ask, why isn't anybody else carrying this? Get your yoke on. If I got to carry it, you should too. Right? Those people are a real joy to hang out with. So, but here's one thing. I've got quotes all over the place. This one is from Thomas Paine. Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. If you want to be free, stay free. Right? So, we're just blazing. In verses 7 and 8, he comes right out and he says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. It almost seems like Paul is interrupting his own thought. Just, they were doing it. And as Jesse even said, it wasn't something that that they didn't know better. They made the choice. They made the distinct choice to go back to who they used to be. Right? I'm glad we've never done that, but I'm just saying that some people have gone back to who we used to be because it was easier. Right? It's what you know. Why? You know, it's like, why push forward into things where it's scary? If I know where I know this is familiar to me. So, but back to the whole idea of God has given you everything we need, everything you need to live life. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has given to us. So, now, this is one that might freak you out a little bit because this is from Sigmund Freud. You chuckle, but it's good. Most people do not really want freedom because freedom assumes responsibility. And most people are afraid of that responsibility. I mean, not that I sign on to everything that Freud says, but does he not have that pegged? He has that pegged. When freedom comes with responsibility. So, we are going to through, the next one is gospel character. And that is going to be in Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to go, it's verses 16 through 25, but I'm just going to read 19 through 21 at the first. So, now the work, this is the fun part. So, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to actually read through the rest of it too. So, but for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I was looking through the different Bible renditions, and I don't know about you, but if you ever come across the Amplified Bible, you start reading it and you're like, huh? Because there's so many different parentheses and brackets, and maybe it's just me, but I'm like, that's confusing. Until I read this one. And so I'm going to read it the way that it comes out of the Amplified Bible, because it says it greatly. It says the Amplified Bible brings a little light to what we're talking about. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Holy Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh, human nature without God. Does that not nail this down? It's not just a little bit. It's walking, living, and then it says habitually, meaning it should be a part of everyday life. So, some of you have heard this before. This is a parable. And so, I'll just share it. An old Cherokee chief was teaching his grandson about life. He said, "A fight is going on inside me." He said to the boy, "It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry and envious. He brings sorrow and regret and greed and arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other is good. He is joy and peace and love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." And the grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old chief simply replied, "The one you feed." I think we've all heard somewhat of a dumbed down version, but this is something that I think that anybody that is walking with Christ for any length of time, we need to remember. Habitually, the way that we live for Christ is a habit. So the Holy Spirit goal is Holy Spirit's goal is to conform us and to transform us into the image of Christ, and ultimately that should be our desire. For freedom, Christ has set you free. The gospel devours the motivation that you have for sin. I think it was in Gospel Revolution, Impact Studies, J.D. Greer was talking about the love for Christ should chase out every sin of your life, right? Now, I'm not saying that you're perfect, but it should chase it out. You know, just like any guy with a daughter would chase out her boyfriend that's not supposed to be there. Right? So, but it saps your very need and reason to live the way that you want. Christ-like character is liberating because it brings us closer to being the people that we were designed to be. Now, this is the part that I was talking about before. Growth is gradual, right? But it is inevitable. We grow as we battle, but it should be a battle. Now, I'm saying all of that as we're going to go into, and I didn't think about this. Actually, I did think about it. I wasn't going to name out the specific sins and what they had to deal with. But the one thing that I think that we do sometimes, maybe this is just me, I read something in the Bible, and if I don't completely understand what the words mean, then it's easy to go on. Right? We're like, propitiation, okay. And then you just read over it. But as we went through all of these things like lewdness, some of them say licentiousness, think words like that. It's like we just read past them because we don't know what they mean and we don't look into it. And if we do look into it, that means that we might be convicted, and so we don't want to do that. But I'm going to look at them anyways. And here's the thing is it's the works of the flesh. We're going to go through this. And I think each one of us are going to get hit in one way or another. But we're going to do the spirit, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Because it's both. It's important that you see who you could have been and who you should be. Okay. So let's get into it. Adultery, self-explanatory. Sex outside the confines of your own marriage. There you go. Fornication, unlawful sex. Sex outside of marriage. Uncleanness, moral evil sensuality. Lewdness. Right? You say that and you're like, oh, okay, yeah. I knew that. I've heard that word once. It's shamelessness. Involving the absence of restraint. It means basically you're going and you're sinning without restraint. I'm glad I've never done that, and I'm glad that nobody in this church has ever done that. So we can mark that one off. Let's keep going. Hey, this is a good Midwestern church. You guys don't talk back to me. Hallelujah. So idolatry, worshiping idols, sorcery is drugs, right? And then we start getting into these ones, hatred, strong feelings of malice directed towards individuals. Again, not a sin named in this church, but I bet you it's in other churches. Contentions, discord, or quarrels, jealousies, distrust, and suspicion. I'm glad. I mean, I read this and I keep on making jokes, but these are things that it's true. We're suspicious. Again, we have a yoke on us and we try to place it on everybody else around us. Wrath, selfish ambition, self-centered living at another's expense. I mean, when we think about that and just the whole idea of going back to verse 13, where it says that we are made free to love and serve one another, yet we read this, that we're self-centered, living at another's expense. Dissensions are separations caused by disagreements, heresy, sects, formed by self-willed opinions. Envy is the displeasure at the success and or prosperity of others. Good things happen to other people, but they don't happen to us. How can that be? That guy gets to do that, but I have to go and do this. And you're using the word have. But we're all called to different things, right? We all have gifts. That's not our gift. It's the person's next to you. Their gift for them. All right. This is going to take on. We're going to be here till 9:30 if I keep this up. So, envy. We already covered that. Murder. Unlawful killing of others. Drunkenness. Intoxication by strong drink. Revelries. Gatherings for entertainment accompanied by drunkenness. Now, reading all of these things, I think we can all admit that even in our walks with Christ, we have all one if not a handful of these things were a part of our life, right? There's a guy named Kyle Idleman. He did Not a Fan, but he also did a series called Aha. And this is something that he said, that he talked about sin. And he said, sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you ever thought you'd pay. That's what it's designed to do. To isolate, to drag you away from God, to serve self, to put on a yoke, right? It doesn't bring freedom. So question, as we read through all of those things, why would Paul write this to the churches in Galatia? Why would he write this to the church? Why would he write this to us? The reason why is that not every person who professes Christ or calls themselves a Christian are Christians. Oh no. Right? Going back to this, the very beginning, the gospel in practice. Who you are comes through your fingertips, right? The question that I think we need to heed this warning is, are these things, this list, are these in your life? Is your life marked by these things? Is that habitual for you? Is that the way that you walk and live, right? I think it's something that we all need to take a look into our own lives. Not everybody else is not. This isn't the part where you're worried about the person in the pew next to you. You know, it's like, well, yeah. So Alexi and Abby eyeing each other up. So no, now is not the time for that. But the gospel devours the motivation that you have for sin. So, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're going to go through these two, right? And you're like, it is going to be nine. It will. It's okay. We'll do an intermission. Everybody can go get coffee, and we'll come back at about 9:15. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So love. Love is what God is and what we ought to be, right? God is love. That's not just a saying. That's not... That's what God is, right? So God is love, joy, contentment, and satisfaction with God and his dealings. Is your life marked by this? I mean, we can beat ourselves up about the bad things, but here's the good things too. You have to, both sides, right? Is your life marked by joy? Habitually. Is this where you walk and live? Long suffering. You guys are doing that right now. Right? patience in afflictions, annoyances, and persecutions, long-suffering. Is your life marked by this? Kindness is gentleness, like Christ was in the attitude towards children. Goodness, kindness shown to others. You can see they're kind of... Faithfulness, trust in God, fidelity, right? Reliability. Can God trust you, right? Gentleness is like taking the lowly place like Jesus did washing feet. Self-control literally means holding oneself in. So back to that, what I said before, is your life marked by these? Is this a part of your life? I mean, well, I think we can all, you know, beat ourselves up because we are, our life is, I mean, we have those things of the flesh, they are a part of our life, and we're working on that, right? Remember, growth is going to happen. God does not want perfection, but progression. So, but is this the way that you live habitually? It makes a difference. And then part of it is, as we're going into the next part of gospel relationships, all of these things, all of these bleed into the relationships of people around you, in your neighborhoods. The discipleship class on Sunday mornings, we're talking about what your neighbors, what it looks like to them, right? How you feel about God matters. So, let's go through gospel relationships. This is going to be the end of chapter 5, verse 26 through 6:5. So, gospel relationships. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Let's go back over that. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, then he is nothing, and he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will bear his own load. So gospel freedom leads to gospel relationship, leads us to serve one another. So Paul is warning the church that there are some things that were seeping into the church, right? Bringing your life outside into the church, vice versa. Conceit. Sorry, I'm turning into the word nerd. I did not plan this. I guess I did. I did read this to Carrie twice. So I guess I did plan this. Enough to type them. Okay, So, conceit. People literally holding a false or empty opinion of ourselves. It's never happened to me, but I'm praying about that in other people. Provocation. Challenging other people to measure up to one's private viewpoints. Never happened. Envy. Wanting something that belongs to someone else to which one has no right to claim. Success, talents, possessions, good looks. Do you think that happens here in this church? Do you think that happens with you? Is it something worth watching out for? Is it a yoke that you might have put on? Yeah, probably. So where do we go then for our gospel-based self-image to actually be right in this area? Right? Well, the Bible says that for the Christian, that our life is hidden Christ. So that's a good place to start. All right, let's go to verses 1 and 2. I'm just going to talk about the gentleness, actually, when you have to, at one time or another, actually restore somebody. So if you see somebody heading off a cliff, and they're your friend, mind you, we're going back to that if you are a Christian and if you are made free, your life is not your own, it's Christ's and the person next to you. So you live to serve, and you live for God. So do you go hands off? Do you just go, this is their own relationship with God, and we'll see how this works out, see how this plays out? Do we say, oh, well, that's their own decision, right? Where do we go from here? So I'm talking about in the gentleness restoring someone. What does love demand? Love demands a spirit of gentleness. And with the spirit of gentleness, here's some tips. It's pretty easy to have a spirit of gentleness when you're clear of your own standing, right? When you're clear of who you are. Maybe remembering a time when you had to be approached, right? When you weren't quite what you claimed to be and somebody out of love had to address you. You know? That kind of will take the wind out of your sails when you go flying after somebody instead of restoring them in gentleness. Now, I believe that cops, or actually, I've seen some of them do this, but in order to use a taser, you actually have to be tasered. And so there's some fun YouTube video if you want to look it up. But the part of it is it's so you actually know what it feels like. Because it's pretty easy to sit there on the other end and just watch the person be shocked. But when you know what it feels like, when you know what it feels like to be on the other end, it's not so great anymore. So when somebody has messed up, and out of love, it should be out of love and gentleness that you restore them. Remembering who you are and being careful that you also don't dive into the same thing that you're trying to bring them out of love. So it's easy to give grace when you recall all the grace that you have had shown to you. Am I right? Yeah. I'm not right. The Bible's right. So I said yeah, and I thought, hey, wait. Okay. So this is the last part, I promise. So sowing and reaping in the gospel. We're going to read verses 6 through 18. So let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in their flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and in order only that they may not, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but the desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Amen. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. So have you ever noticed that when you're reading somebody else's, when you're reading mail or email, you tend to read in tone, right? I've done that for a long time. There's times where I got an email from somebody and it was all caps. And so I interpreted like somebody was shouting. And so I went, oh no. And I thought, I really messed up this time. And then so I responded in the email, very apologetic, you know. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't even know that caps button was on. So I was like, okay. Whew. So I only bring that up because this last part, as we look over, as Paul is labeling some things out, exhorting us, giving us reminders and encouragement. Here at the end where he says, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap flesh, in the flesh reap corruption. But he who spirit sows to the Spirit will, from the Spirit, reap eternal life. And so here is the exhortation, the encouragement. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So as we come to it at the end of it and sowing and reaping in the gospel, the same thing goes for us. I mean, we are kind of like the church of Galatia. We've all been foolish and gone our own ways, and God brought us back. But we have to remember that, yeah, it's hard. And there, I mean, it is hard. But in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So we went through four things: gospel freedom, gospel character, gospel relationships, sowing and reaping the gospel. And there's one last quote. Ha ha. It says, we must be free. Not because we claim freedom, but because we practice it. Going back to the very, 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 very beginning. The gospel in practice. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Amen. So I'm going to pray.